FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is May 23rd, 2018. Well, unless you've been in a hole in the ground or submerged someplace, or you've been in a deep Rip Van Winkle-like sleep, you know that California has got huge problems, LA County in particular, crime, immigration that is out of control, corrupt politicians. I mean, you just name it. The place is rapidly descending into chaos, becoming a basket case. But there are solutions. There are things that can be done. First, before we get started, as always, you know the best part of my day is when I wake up and find an email from you in my inbox. So send us an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. So let us talk about what's happening in the nation's most populous state, the immigration, the fraud, all of that. And we're really happy to have on with us now Bob Lindsay. Bob, you're a lifelong resident of L.A. County. You were even born in downtown Los Angeles. Well, I don't know how many people do that nowadays. And worked for 32 years for the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. And then you went on to handle security for courthouses. So you're a lifelong public servant. We're thrilled to have you on the show here. Thanks.
Yeah, Kerry, thanks for having me on. 40 years in law enforcement and still looking for a bruising.
And you are a candidate for L.A. County Sheriff. And, you know, that's a big step. You're throwing your hat into the political arena. Look, I assume you're retired, you're comfortable, you got your pension and all that. What possessed you to try to become a politician or the county's top law enforcement officer?
You know what? You're right. I was retiring. My wife and I were heading out to Arizona. And 3 years ago, we got a new sheriff. And he came actually from LAPD. And I voted for the man. But in the last 3 years, we've seen a rise in crime. We've seen homelessness surge 75% under his watch. Aggravated assaults, robberies, burglaries have gone up 69%. The sheriff's department has the lowest morale in history, the LA County Sheriff's Department. And that's not me saying it. That was a survey done by the union. Recently, there was an actual vote that was put out to the deputy sheriffs in Los Angeles County. And I got 93% approval rating by the deputies. And there was a second category of let's not make an endorsement, nobody. That was second. Third came the sheriff at about 3%.
Oh, my goodness.
And then finally, there the other candidate that applied got 2%. So it's a mess here in L.A., just as you said. And whether it's the immigration, whether it's the homelessness, whether it's the mental health, whether it's crime is up, whether it's deputy morale, whether it's the deputies aren't working anymore, we could go on and on. Right now, the current sheriff is $200 million over budget. And we're, in addition to that, 1,500 deputies down. He forgot to hire.
Oh, my goodness. 1,500? It's not like you were swimming with the surplus deputies anyway.
Yeah, no, he's actually ordering the deputies that are on duty to work overtime. So they have to work 12 times per month. They're ordered to work. They can't get time off. In fact, 3 days ago, Kerry, I got a phone call from one of the station lieutenants who said he couldn't believe it. There was a sergeant who put in for a day off. His dad had passed away and he needed to go to the funeral, obviously, and the department denied him going to the funeral.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. So the troops are up in arms. The county is being neglected. All these problems are being allowed to fester. I assume that L.A. County is a sanctuary county as well, isn't it?
Well, it is in many regards. In fact, if you look at Breitbart back in June of 2017, L.A. County, under this current sheriff, was the number one county in the entire United States not to give the criminals to ICE.
Really?
Yes.
And that's and these are a lot of these criminals are gangbangers. They've committed violent crimes. Why are they being protected? No one's ever been able to explain the logic behind a sanctuary town, city, state, whatever. I don't understand it. What am I missing here?
Well, you know what? I think the sheriff just simply doesn't have his pulse on anything. So he doesn't understand the department. He came from Los Angeles Police Department into the largest sheriff's department in the world. Right. We have 18,000 employees. We cover 4,100 square miles with 10 and a half million residents. Mm-hmm. And when he came in with zero experience, he didn't know how to navigate the department. He had never spent one day in jail working it. He never spent a day working in our jails, whereas I've worked five custody facilities, five patrol stations. I've worked multiple surveillance assignments. I've worked the academy training recruits. I've worked advanced officer training, training all the deputies. I was the founder of the field training officer unit. And at that point, I wrote all the training manuals that they currently use out in the field today for patrol training, I wrote. Domestic violence policy in the department, I created it way back in the 80s. So I have 40 years of experience in this department that he has now, three. And I will tell you, honestly, with 40 years of experience, I know how to fix it. But when I walk in, I also understand I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. And it's very important that when we get our hands on this department again to make it safe, to make it sound, and to actually help the community, that I surround myself with the right people.
Absolutely. No question about it. So we've got a case of really abject neglect. The criminals are being allowed to run free. And what are your top priorities, Bob, assuming you do get elected and the voters of LA County come to their senses?
Yeah, Kerry, and I'm not going to assume. I'm praying hard. A lot of people here are praying hard that we can take back this county. And I will tell you that the first thing we need to do, and most people don't understand this, we have a lot of independent cities here in LA County. So in other words, Beverly Hills, I'll use that as an example. They have their own police force, but regardless of how good Beverly Hills police force is, when they arrest somebody, that individual is then handed over to me, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, and they are now under our jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens currently is that individual that's arrested will go to court. They process through court, and the judge makes a determination, but no longer are the judges in control. Mm-hmm. Because if the judge sentences, let's say that this it's an individual who assaulted somebody, put them in the hospital, and the judge gives that individual 1 year in jail. Currently, today, that criminal will only spend 10 days.
Really?
So not 1 year, 10 days.
10 days?
And so what's happened here in LA County is everybody comes to LA County to commit their crimes. Yeah, they know there is no penalty anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So as a sheriff of Los Angeles County, I can fix that. Because what we do is we extend bed space. This sheriff's problem is he forgot to hire people. If you don't have deputies, you have to close jails. We have closed jails. Now, mm-hmm. we don't need to expand LA County jails. We need to utilize what we currently have. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing is they've got they're going to spend $3.5 billion on mm-hmm. building a new jail.
Yeah.
$3.5 billion. And I will tell you, we have a homeless problem. We have mental health problems. We have so many problems here that need to be taken care of before we do that. So we need to start processing the money correctly in LA County and putting it so that we can have the residents, the actual people who live here, live a better quality of life. It's scary. Anytime you get off a freeway in LA, there's tents everywhere, people walking up to your car, trying to wash your windows, and the next person that's walking up could have a gun. You just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting when you think what you described is the guy doesn't know how to allocate resources properly. He sounds like a complete hack, an incompetent, and you need a strategy for this, right? The first thing is, hey, cut your expenses where you don't need to be spending money to the bone, get your people out on the streets, get them out there solving crimes. What's the murder clearance rate like in LA County these days?
Well, I don't think we're clearing many murders, but I can tell you the FBI stats came out, and year to date, comparison from last year to this year, homicides are up 56%.
Oh my
goodness. it's pretty unsafe here in LA County right now. And, you know, personally, I have 5 grandbabies here in Los Angeles County, and I'm afraid for them every day. I'm afraid when I drop them off at school. I never used to be afraid to drop kids off to school. You know, it was a learning education. It was your teachers were there to take care of them. But now not even the teachers can take care of our kids anymore because of the things that are happening. And it's not just here. It's obviously USA wide. But these are the things that we as law enforcement have to pay attention to. There's 2200 public schools here in Los Angeles County, 2200. And this sheriff, when he was asked, well, what are you going to do to protect the schools? He said, well, we don't have enough resources to protect them all. That's not a logical answer. The logical answer is we're going to do everything we can to protect them. We're going to pull in reserves. We're going to pull in whoever we can to begin going to these schools and protecting our children because they're our most valuable resource.
And like you said, down 1,500 men in a department that size really puts a major crimp in your ability to fight crime. So when you get in there, presuming you do, and we all hope you do, Bob, how do you fill those 1,500 spots? Because they all need training. You need recruitment. You can't just poach them from other departments around the country, right? A lot of people don't want to be in California because of its high taxes and because of what's happening to the quality of life. You got to have a plan in place to staff those 1,500 positions.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's an excellent question. Here's one thing that's happened over the course of the last couple of years. We've had a mass exodus from the sheriff's department. People are retiring 3 years early because they can't stand the department from the inside anymore. We have people literally getting hired by the sheriff's department, going through the academy, being paid by county funds, and when they graduate, they lateral to another department because they do not want to be in this one. So that's a complete waste of county money. So because it is so bad, normally we have an attrition rate of about 350 to 400 people naturally leaving the department. We're getting up into the 700s. So it's compounding itself based on his lack of hiring and now the mass exodus. It is creating such a huge cavern of holes within this department, whether it's our court services, whether it's our custody, whether it's our patrol, whether it's our metro lines, whether it's the community colleges, and we can go on with all the other places we police, but we do not have the availability to fill those spots. When somebody in a city asks for a school resource deputy, he has to say no. He can't even fill what he has already. So let me add to this, Kerry, and I'm sorry to go on so long.
Oh, but please. No, I'm fascinated by it because the internal workings of the department is really where it's at. And if you don't understand the problem, how the heck are you going to solve it?
And you're absolutely right once again that, and as a sergeant, I worked recruitment, I worked hiring. And then as a captain, I was actually assigned to Personnel Bureau. They brought me in as the director of personnel for 5.5 years to run the entire agency. So over the course of my career, I've hired somewhere in the area of about 7,000 deputies. And I will tell you, when we had a vibrant hiring system, and note this, that the biggest recruiter for the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department for years and years has been its deputies. Mm-hmm. Because when somebody comes up to a deputy and says, how do you like your job? And they look at him and say, this is the greatest career ever. People go, oh, my God, yes. Yeah. And then they get them to go on a ride along. They get them to do things. They get them interested. And they are our best recruiters. Today, if you walked up to a deputy, the deputy would say, run as fast as you can. Do not come here. Go to another agency. Career survival here is terrible. This sheriff is firing well over 100 deputies a year, and the average prior to him coming in was 20. Mm-hmm. So this is
something wrong there.
Yeah, this is why the deputies have absolutely quit working. I literally sat down with 36 terminated deputies. They no longer had their jobs, and listened to each one of their stories. It was heart-wrenching. It was heartbreaking. Some of them deserved 10 days off, 5 days off. They deserve time off. They should have been disciplined, but not terminated. And one of them, most recently, that I had talked to, I told him, look, you're going to get your job back, but I hope you can survive the melee that occurs. Because what he does is he terminates you, and if civil service gives you your job back, he then says, well, you got your job back, but I'm not responsible for you anymore. You know, if somebody tries to sue me, that's their fault, civil service. Right. Well, this deputy called me a few days ago and said, Bob, you're right. I went to court. The judge looked at the district attorney and said, why is this deputy even here? You don't have one shred of criminal evidence against him. Why is he sitting here in court? And the DA popped up and said, well, he says, no, don't argue. I want to hear one shred of evidence. And he did not have one. And so this deputy has been off for a year, is ready to lose his home.
He's going
to
get his back pay, though, too, right? He's going to No, he doesn't get back pay?
Not necessarily. The department argues that they're not giving it to you. Why? Because this guy's $200 million over budget. He's right now, it's a $3.2 billion budget that this sheriff runs, and he's $200 million over that. Right. And so if he gives this deputy the back pay, forget the compassion, forget the human thing. He doesn't want to ruin his budget more than $200 million. So he's willing to fight this deputy for the money he deserves and not give it to him.
It's disgusting. So you indirectly raised another point, and that is obviously the union's really unhappy. Productivity in the department has got to be plummeting. You know, when Bratton came in and took over the NYPD, he implemented all these strategies for reducing crime. He got them to be more productive. How are you going to get your department to be more productive, Bob?
Well, 93% of the deputies want me there, and they want me there because they know that I'm an advocate for reducing crime. And deputies are the only people that do that. They're the ones out on the streets that can reduce the crime. They know I'm not going to attack them, but they do know I'm going to be a father figure like I should be. And, you know, if you need to be disciplined, you're going to be disciplined. But respect is a big deal out on the streets. We need to respect the community, and we have to earn the respect back from the community. And that has completely disappeared in a lot of places here. And part of that is the current sheriff's problem, because we used to have what was known as community advisory committees. So if you went to the Black community or the Hispanic community or the Chinese community, there were, we'll call them panels or advisory groups of that ethnicity, of that demographic, and they would come in and they would tell the sheriff what was going on, what the problems were in their community. When this sheriff entered the picture 3 years ago, he disbanded all those groups.
Why would you do that? It's madness here.
It was a political thing. He didn't want any legacy from the previous sheriff. So politically, he just cut them all out. And so now the community groups are very upset also at what is going on, because they no longer have a voice. They no longer have access to the sheriff's department at the highest levels to give them their grievances. And so the grievances come out in the form of more crime. The grievances come out in the form of things not getting solved. And then what we have out on the streets and what we have at these community meetings are people that are really angry.
Yeah. Yeah, they're out for blood. I mean, when you see, so things weren't great before. It's just a question of they're a lot worse now. So when a third of your manpower is out, that's a third less boots on the ground. And of course, you're going to have crime going up, and it's going to go up across the board in wealthy areas as well as not so wealthy areas. And I'm sure that's what's been happening here, right?
Wow, Kerry, you are, I mean, I don't know, what do you have, a spyglass over LA County?
I watch these things.
Is it a drone? Are you flying a drone somewhere and taking a look? Listen, you're absolutely right. I went to a Hancock Park is a very affluent area out in L.A., and I went there. It's not my area. It's LAPD's area. But even in Hancock Park, burglaries are way up, and the people driving out of their, you know, multi-million dollar mansions, backing out of their driveways, are being approached by the homeless. They're being approached by people and basically assaulted in their driveways. So these are the things that are happening in L.A. County. I don't know if you're familiar with this area, but do you know if have you heard the city Arcadia?
Yes,
Arcadia,
I've heard of that. Yeah,
is a very nice area. Burglaries there are up 250%. These are the things, the most critical things, the quality of life here. You know, when I was a kid, this is obviously back in the 50s, 60s, we slept with our doors open. Right now, you just better go out there and put bars on everything, because it is crazy what's going on here. And the criminals know it. And, you know, I mean, the laws here, even they've changed, where grand theft used to be $400. Now it's $950. We have people, literally criminals, walking up onto porches, opening up boxes, pulling it out, looking at the price tag, and seeing if it's less than $950, adding it up, because if they take less than $950, they know all they could possibly get is a ticket.
Right.
And that's it. And they've also made the rule that it's not an aggregated crime. So you go to one porch, then the next porch, then the next porch. You can't add them together. It's three tickets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's three separate acts.
Exactly.
Hey, what effect, Bob, has legalized marijuana had on the situation? And I'm not asking if you're in favor or whatever. That's irrelevant, because it is the law. What effect do you think it's had?
Well, I think it does need to be put under control. And this is I have been talking to the cannabis industry, actually. It's legal. And as the sheriff of Los Angeles County, I can't close down legal business. But here's what it can bring into the community. It can bring in increased crime. It brings in organized crime. It brings in a lot of things. So here's my spin on that and what my take as a law enforcement officer. I've asked the cannabis industry to help me. If they're legal and they're going to open, then buy me some cars, buy me some deputies, buy me some people who can police the area for those people who don't belong there. Give me some money for education so that we can eradicate the use of marijuana below the age of 18, and that we can go ahead and please also tell me where the illegal sales are going on, because we need to eradicate that. But here is the problem. If I stand back and I don't do anything, we will have organized crime. We will have cartels. We will have gangs taking over these areas and these businesses. So inserting myself early into this process gives me the opportunity to keep the community safe.
Yeah. So it's just like, I guess, after Prohibition, when alcohol was legal again, it needs to be controlled. You don't want certain elements coming into a neighborhood just because the store is there. The stores have a lot of cash. They're really subject to armed robberies and assaults, and they can't really put the money in the bank. So they really do need the support and the backing of the sheriff's office, and probably a good partnership, if you will, between the two, because it benefits the community, benefits these businesses. Like you said, you don't want the wrong element coming in. So, hey, the primary, if I'm correct, Bob, is coming up June 5th.
Yeah, absolutely. The absentee ballots are out there right now. People are already punching the names in and sending their mailers in, but the actual date of the vote is June 5th.
All right. So June 5th, that's the date. And get out there, do something. I mean, I've always been questionable about how important votes are, but on the local level, who you vote for is everything. It's really essential that you get this character out of there now. He's a complete incompetent and has done untold damage to the community that he's supposed to be serving. And Bob, you're an insider here. You know what's going on. I don't want to say this in a derogatory way, but you know where the bodies are buried. You know the people, you know the guys who want to work, and you know the guys who don't want to work. And you're like a fixture there. So it sounds like the department, to the office, really needs a major overhaul in leadership, priorities, organizational shakeup and a personnel hiring binge. Let's get those 1,500 positions filled and forget about the new jail. And then don't do a catch and release. I think they've been hanging around ICE too long, and they just catch and release the criminals in that place. And of course, if there's no risks, or if the risks are extremely low, you're going to encourage risky behavior or prohibited behavior that wouldn't otherwise be acceptable. So you got a website, just tell us where we find you, Bob, so we can go in there and check out all your positions and get this thing going, turn the county around. It needs it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I'm also a constitutionalist. I believe in the Second Amendment, which is I'll be the first sheriff in many, many years in Los Angeles County that actually believes in shall issue and self-defense is good cause. So my website is Bob4Sheriff.com. And that will get you there. I have a Facebook on there. I have an Instagram on there. But Bob4Sheriff.com.
Hey, and before we go, so I'm not familiar with how permits get issued in carry permits get issued in California. They're issued on the county level by the sheriffs?
Yeah, so just as a quick note, in Los Angeles County, there's 10.5 million people. The current sheriff has issued 190 CCWs. So the 190 out of 10.5 million people is a 0.000006%.
My goodness.
He doesn't give them out. You cannot get one unless you pay for it, unless you're a friend, et cetera. Now, the surrounding counties around us do issue. So we have people from other counties driving into LA County with CCWs. But if you live in the county, forget it. You're not getting a CCW.
Can't get it. So yet another reason, as if you needed another reason to vote for Bob Lindsay for LA County Sheriff, there's one for you. Living in Florida here, big pro Second Amendment state, a Florida state carry permit, CCW, is valid, I think, in either 36 or 39 states around the country. More importantly, the states around Florida all accepted Alabama, Georgia, the Carolinas. So, man, we need to like turn things around. California is in many ways the future of the country, and LA is very well could be the future of California. So it's time to get serious about this, make a difference, go out there and vote for Bob. Bob, thanks so much for coming on the show. Our prayers, our thoughts, we're really pulling for you.
Kerry, God bless you, and thanks for the opportunity to come on and tell this story to all your listeners.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.